Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 149. I'm your host, John Jordan, and very pleased today joining me, I have a Peter Kiltika, who is the CEO of Horizon Blockchain Games. How's it going, Peter?
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
Good, good. And I'm very happy to have you on. As we've just been discussing, we've known each other sort of in the sector for a long, long time. I think probably you've even been around longer than me. But this is the first time we've actually sort of had a real-time video conversation, so that's good. Tick that off my list.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's funny because I've been wanting to chat with you for so long. We're both obviously heads down, cranking, busy, you know, all the things that we're doing in the space. You know, obviously I'm a huge fan of your content and your blog, and again, thank you so much for having me here. But also, you know, it's funny, when Michael Sanders and I, we were at the beginning of our journey, one of the first conferences we went to was a Pocket Gamer blockchain conference. It was in the summer of 2018. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it the one in San Francisco?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't know you were there.
I was there with Michael. And it was the first one ever. And we were fundraising at the time.
Okay.
And I remember seeing Nicolas Pouard from Ubisoft present there. And just like a lot of cool, anyway, super OG stuff. So again, since that time, we've been on this cool parallel journey. And finally, we meet today, ever. First time on this podcast. It's cool.
It's funny. No, there was the time I remember. It's sort of funny, sort of remembering back there because we had a pitch. I think it's the only time we've done a blockchain pitch there, and the winner was this small game called Axie Infinity. So it was the first time I met Jeff from Axie Infinity as well. But it, you know, it's sort of, I think there are a lot of people in that room who
it took years to sort of that's wicked.
sort of work out who they all were. Obviously, some of them aren't there anymore, but there were some real success stories there. Cool. So, yes, you've been around for a while, but let's find out a bit more about you. So, you're CEO, co-founder of Horizon Blockchain Games. We're going to talk about what you guys are up to, which is very interesting on sort of game side and on the more infrastructure side. But how did you get into blockchain and gaming? Tell us the story.
Yeah. Well, been a gamer my whole life. That's kind of what got me into computers and then coding in the first place. You know, I wanted a Nintendo. And I told my dad I want a Nintendo, and he says, no, we have a computer. And I was literally 6 years old at the time, so I don't know what he's talking about. I just said, give me the games. So I just played the games. Anyways, long, you know, then I started learning how to code and so forth. So, you know, I fell in love very, very, very much with programming. It was kind of the one thing that was the most interesting thing to me ever. Never really thought about, you know, making a profession like that. Even there is a profession in gaming. That sounds insane to me. You know, you can play games or do things in gaming and make money. Like that's silly, you know, just in the industry, and yet the industry is just ginormous. And then, you know, I've always loved coding, love infrastructure, specifically infrastructure, open source infrastructure is something I've been very passionate about. Just system design and architecture of internet systems. Cause again, also I fell in love with the internet. It's kind of where I grew up. And so naturally I've also, you know, personally been very fascinated by developing a lot of infrastructure, and a lot of my previous companies and roles, I've been the CTO at founder and CTO. It's the first time I'm taking on the CEO gig. It's a hard gig, but it's a lot of fun. So it was very natural for me to, you know, I've always, again, just go deeper and deeper in infrastructure. And then when I had discovered blockchain, it was like, you know, blockchain was an incredible, had interesting properties of a distributed system that was public. It was like a public distributed system. You know, it wasn't like you have this high availability. It was this public infrastructure with the properties of, you know, cryptography and economics that kind of hold it all together. And I thought it was an incredible discovery. And that what got me very interested. And I wanted to develop something that, you know, because I've understood infrastructure very well, and I like making products. I like the bottom and the top. I like the whole spectrum of the work. Yeah. You know, I was like, there's an opportunity for me here to be able to develop something that like normal people could use out of this stuff. And I just, it's like bleeding edge, it's innovative, it's exploratory, it's like, and there's a lot of fun there, right? When you're working at that edge. And of course, then there's a lot of opportunity on the business side because it's a new frontier. And that's it. So then I was again thinking, well, gaming made a lot of sense to me because, you know, gaming has a huge, you know, market around virtual goods and virtual items, you know, again, for multiple decades. And of course, it's a very prominent business model that people use and free to play games that are free, yet they monetize through virtual goods sales. It's very interesting, right? So then my question was, well, what do you do at this intersection? How does blockchain advance this stuff? So that's, and then I got into the rabbit hole and I don't know. Years later, here I am, still plugging and still waking up every day very excited.
Yeah. good. So, I guess you first sort of probably came on my horizon and probably lots of people's horizons with, or your horizon, of course, with Skyweaver, which is your trading card game, which has been out now for, is it 3 years, 4 years?
I think it's a year and a half in public. Development, like prod, mainnet, all that stuff. But development wise, it was even the whole journey, the whole time.
So given your sort of background with the infrastructure sort of hat on, and given certainly, you know, a couple of years ago, there's always been, you know, a lot of blockchain games, you know, of increasing quality. But there's always been sort of competition in that sort of game space. And certainly when it comes to trading card games, which obviously fit very well to sort of blockchain type sort of mechanics in terms of owning the cards and all that sort of stuff. Why did you decide that you wanted to do a game? And obviously you do the infrastructure stuff as well. But why not just go for the infrastructure? We've seen sort of some companies who, you know, just go for the tools. You know, making tools in a new sort of industry is a well-known, a well sort of run sort of investment sort of strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, because we started in like the ideating in the summer of 2017.
Oh, really?
You know, and then it was the January 2018 that we started plugging hard. Like everything was ready to go. The team was assembled. We're going. And, you know, we wanted to, the first concept was, we were just always like imagining the end result, right? Which was the video game. And I think like that was pretty much it. Like we wanted to get something out quick and awesome and be really, you know, break some new ground, do things that have never been done before. It's just like, that's where the fun is, you know? And that's what it was all about. Just doing something really cool. And you know, and naturally, like, you know, to be honest, like with my background, every time, like in the history of all my developments, in all my companies that I've worked at, whenever I'm developing something, if I have a product in mind, and if I have an opportunity to open source something, I always do. And in fact, I have a very extensive open source portfolio on GitHub. One project called Qi, another one called WebRPC. My project Qi has 16,000 stars. It's used by like thousands of internet companies a day. It's downloaded on GitHub 20,000 times a day. All this cool stuff. And I'm really, really proud. It was something for me, it was really important for me when I was growing up. I was like, I want to create a distinguished, you know, open source work that really makes an impact in the ecosystem. And that was the thing. I really, really crafted it. Plus there's other cool, there's dozens of things that I've done. And I find a lot of joy out of that to be able to, you know, be able to extract and provide that. And so when we were developing Skyweaver, it was, again, so we had in mind, like, that's what we need. Like, we need the content. That's what people are going to ultimately result. And like, if I had to like make a platform first, and then hope to convince someone to use it, and then it's done, and then finally get them to make the game, like, it's going to take too long. Like, so I was like, no, I'm going to go blitz through it, and I'm going to build any and kind of solve any problems that come in my way.
Yeah.
As it relates to kind of meeting our goals, which of course is making a game that anyone can play and anyone can participate in while preserving like the integrity of Web3. And so that took us on a deep journey to, of course, all lots of research and experimentation to discover the Web3 while open sourcing a lot of components. And there are many components of Sequence that are open sourced, actually. All the core is, in fact. And we'll keep doing that. It's like an important part of our thing. And then so Skyweaver, And so really the funny thing is we've been developing Sequence since January 2018, like literally, it's been the same time in the development. You know, it's been not been it's always been around.
Yeah, that was interesting. When I was looking you up on Twitter, your link out is your GitHub, which is always is you sort of shows a certain sort of technical sort of focus of the mind there. I don't see that very often.
So. Yeah, I'll say GitHub is literally my favorite website on the internet. Like, even my wife knows that. I'm so proud of I love open source, and I'm very proud of the work that I do there, and I'll always do it for the rest of my life.
So Sequence, you know, definitely worth checking out. Trading card game, has lots of cool stuff. We did a podcast, not quite sure when, maybe 2 years ago with Michael, around what's going on there, and I think it's sort of interesting in the approach you've sort of taken on that sort of product. But for this podcast, we're going to talk sort of more generally about Sequence, which I think is the sort of the infrastructure thing and something that is, I guess, playing more to where the industry sort of is at the moment. So I guess there's two things here. There's me as a sort of a user of something like Sequence, And obviously you as the guy, you know, as the sort of the people who've built it. And for me, Sequence is a, you know, a wallet, a crypto wallet that I use to play some games that I play. And it's, you know, it's, I sort of use it because I play those games. But for you, I mean, wallet is a very sort of a specific term, but for you, Sequence is much more than that, isn't it? So maybe can you sort of unpeel some of the things that we as users don't sort of understand what's going on sort of behind the scenes with Sequence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a, it's a really good question. And I guess it kind of like, again, plays back to, again, it's just like a very continuation up to like achieving our goals, right? And our goals were that anyone should be able to use Web3 and the systems just like we do the internet and the web via the web browser. And when we were exploring, you know, many different things, whether it was which blockchain or what part of a video game belongs on a blockchain, or, you know, what are the benefits of blockchain with gaming, in all things, kind of one of the key conduits was it's the, you know, that users that interface with the blockchain, it's the wallet. The wallet is the thing that really interfaces them with it. Yeah. And it's, again, it's the key conduit to allow them to access these things. So it was very clear to us that in order for us to solve the experience problem and to make this accessible, we have to design a wallet system such that anybody could actually go and use it in a way that feels very natural, like, you know, we call it Web 2, right? Yep. And the key there is, and how do you do that? Because there's a lot of good looking wallets. It's not like a use, this isn't like a UX problem.
Yeah.
Right. This isn't like, oh, you need a really good designer. That's not what this is. Right. This is, you have to figure out the infrastructure on how you do key management and how you can read data off a blockchain, how you can have reliable node access, how you can actually deliver transactions when you don't even have, you know, the underlying gas token. Like all of these infrastructure problems are actually what create the friction, you know, for you to build ability to use the chain. And so that's what we focused on. It's like the, you solve the infrastructure problem, it enables the ability to have seamless user onboard user experience.
Yep.
And that's it. And so we kind of, one of the areas that we, and when we were, you know, from the lens of Skyweaver and from the, you know, from the needs of Skyweaver and, you know, from, in, from like our goals to create this, you know, Web3 standard preserving high integrity system, and as open as possible. And we'd love to go even way more crazy open without people like stealing all of our work. So we're just kind of, you know, balancing it, being thoughtful about that sort of thing. But, you know, the, you know, one of the things that we, there's really some, there's a lot of simple problems, you know, in, and I think like, if you look at MetaMask, as an example, and I'm not going to shit on MetaMask because it's actually an excellent wallet. It's an excellent, it's a very excellent program that's been around for a long time. And it continues, you know, to do well. It's just that it's a very simple wallet. It's a very primitive, it's as in it's like close to the metal, you know what I mean? You got the blockchain, and it's close to the metal in terms of how close that you interface with it. Right. And that's why it feels there's all these like things that feel very raw that the user has to take on in terms of, well, how much, what's the gas estimation? Like what price should I pay? And then like canceling or waiting for this to get mined, or oh, I have to have the underlying gas, this, or someone just sent me some current, you know, some token of some kind of thing. And I don't even know if it's in my wallet or not. You know what I mean? Like all of these things, because it's very, and you know, but it's an excellent wallet because it does all the things really, really well at that level, close to the metal. And so we just, you know, so we had just built other abstractions on top of that. You know, for instance, the wallet account itself, you know, MetaMask is, you know, uses the single private key. It's an externally owned account. It has like, you know, your public private key pair, which is really cool. And it's difficult. That's a difficult thing to handle, right? To, it's like you're handling this very sensitive material. And so we were of course exploring other possibilities of wallet design. And one of those of course is multi-sig. So we were very early on, we literally started development back in 2019 on a smart contract wallet. What is Sequence is of a different type of account primitive. It's a smart contract wallet type account. And now it's really, now it's very popular now in 2023, you know, around the notion of account abstraction, right? Everyone's like pointing at that this is going to be the way that we're going to solve usability on blockchains. And so again, we started on this in 2019, and one of our chief researcher, I guess Nagular, even wrote his own version of this, like called Marmo, like 2 years before that. It was really crazy. And then, you know, Philippe Cassegway, our head of product, he was one of the guys who in like July 2018, I think, he actually published an EIP, which is 1271 for signature validation for smart contract wallets. So anyways, but the benefit of it is that you can have now, instead of, you're kind of separating, like you have your wallet, which actually holds your items and your stuff. It's a smart contract. And then you can have multiple different keys that work like access control, like permission, like a hotel key or something like that, to be able to gain access, to be able to transact on it, right? And now you can have any combination of these keys. You can, and you can have given different weightings and stuff like this, and you can actually evict them and rotate them, and has all these interesting properties. And to do this in a way that is, for instance, you know, fully compatible with any block, any blockchain like contract, and to do this in a way that's very low cost, because you're creating like, and to do it, you know, all these different tricks of being counterfactual while being secure, is actually really difficult. And that's what the sequence, again, so that is one of the primitives, the wallet, it's just only one of the primitives that we have created. And then we have all the stuff that builds on top of it. So yeah, and this, so we're just, like I said, infrastructure solves UX. It's, yeah.
But I kind of, maybe I'm probably the, maybe not the, I'm the wrong person to do this, but sort of slightly being devil's advocate, and you actually have quite a funny video. I think it's on the, from Sequence, where it's sort of like people cutting between setting up a MetaMask wallet and setting up a Sequence wallet, which is obviously, you know, a bit meme-y, but it's sort of, for, I guess for some people, having a MetaMask wallet where they go, or a wallet where they go, you need to keep your seed phrase safe. And some of us in the crypto space have sort of had to sort of learn that maybe the hard way, but we sort of, that sort of, we feel sort of comfortable with that, you know, comfortable with at least we know sort of what the rules are. I guess one of these sort of issues for that sort of person, which may not be your target audience, is with a, the sort of wallet you've got, is you still need access to something to access the wallet there, don't you? So in the case of, if I was using email to access my Sequence wallet, if I lost access to my email, I would lose access to the wallet. So you're, in a sense, you're, you know, there's, you're trusting the user to control something. And I guess it's a question of whether they're less likely to lose their email or lose the seed phrase, I suppose.
That would be the way. Very, very good question. It's a very, very good point. And I agree with you. I think there's different, again, it's kind of like, you know, MetaMask, for instance, the Chrome extension is open source, and, you know, like completely the UI is open source. You can run it offline. And then you have like your seed private key, which is, again, it's difficult to handle and so forth. On the Sequence stuff, our contract, like the actual wallet contracts are open source. The wallet core is open source. The UI is not open source. The only reason we don't even open source it is because we're just worried about like people want to do like phishing attacks and stuff like this. It would be a little bit annoying. So that that's really the main key. But we'll think of something. We are just, but in any case, you know, there's a combination of keys that can have different weightings that'll give you privilege to the key, to the system. And it's true. Like you can have your email key or your, as an authentication key, you actually generate an on-device random session key that only lives on your device. And then there's actually like a Sequence guard key that works as like a firewall to give you extra protection and things that actually can help you enforce also two-factor authentication, which is kind of cool. You know, and so, and then you can have more keys. Like you can add a recovery key that you could technically, you could add a key that have very high weighting that is just like a seed word, like MetaMask, and it can always give you recovery to it. But so we don't do that because it's actually good. It's easy to screw that up for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's timely. Like actually, I'll just kind of give a shout out to the Safe team, who is of course a phenomenal team, the Diagnosis Safe team. They just released a product today called the Recovery Hub. Okay. And it's very interesting because they're looking at very much, you know, how do you solve this recovery problem? And interestingly, like we're looking, this would fit very well into like one of the signers, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly you could use that with your Sequence wallet to have, you know, more friendly or like less nuclear abilities of recovery. And so, yeah, we could do the seed word thing, but we're being disciplined to not, because it's technically like we can check a box and maybe no one would care, but well, no, it's not the best.
No, it's sort of choosing what you want to do. It reminds me very much, the first one I came across like that was Argent, that sort of DeFi wallet, which sort of has these similar recovery things. I guess it's interesting because very much you're designing, you know, it's a balance between the technical stuff you're doing and sort of the user experience. And obviously users are a huge spectrum of sort of, you know, expertise and, competence. And, you know, I guess a product has to sort of choose where it wants to be on that. And if you were just a seed phrase wallet, then why, what are you doing that's sort of different to MetaMask? Whereas obviously Sequence is, I would say, is it primarily designed for games? But certainly that's, you know, that seems to be where you are. And so you're thinking my user is a gamer, and a gamer is not a systems op sort of person in most cases. They're just like a game, you know.
Sequence is very much targeted at the consumer, you know, consumer level applications. So like, again, like we want to offer, you know, to the average person and even a pro, because you can definitely go pro with it. And there's a lot of really crazy stuff you can do with these things. But it's, But gaming is one of the strongest verticals that we believe in. And I'll come back to like what our mission is with Sequence, even though we're getting into some deep tech stuff here. The last thing I just want to say about the wallet piece and all that stuff is, you know, it's in fact trivial to make a wallet that sits close to the metal. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's very, very easy to do that, right? But when you start going and adding these abstractions and wanting to preserve their non-custodial and helping you get to self-custodial nature and all these different things, this is where it gets very, very sophisticated in order to maintain the security, right? Because like usability and security are very much like opposing forces. And so there's like this thing, and we almost certainly will have like a recovery kit that's open source and you can run offline. And if you have your thing, you can like and plug it in, and maybe we'll just use the safe recovery hub. Maybe they'll just have solved it for us today. You know, if not, like it's what I'm saying is what we're planning anyways. But you know, there's this kind of notion I just want to mention, which is kind of, I think, very interesting. A lot of people talk about is like this notion between non-custodial versus self-custodial or even custodial. And I think it's very interesting that a lot of people, sometimes people kind of say, I want a custodial wallet, you know, say, well, why? And they're like, well, I want to have a really good user experience. I'm like, well, you can actually do it in a non-custodial construction, but it's like, it's just not been seen, or, you know, there are many now more excellent companies that are working in the space and advancing in the space, of course, because everybody understands it's a big, you know what I mean? That's really cool. It's, you know, but I think that's usually why people want custodial now. So we can say, okay, non-custodial. So, and then people start talking, now more people are realizing they want non-custodial wallets because they want to have a greater level of security. But then a lot of people would use like non-custodial plus self-custodial as like the same thing. They would kind of use them synonymously, and actually would say that they're not the same thing. And so what I say is, you know, a non-custodial wallet is one where, you know, the application, the software provider, the wallet provider is unable to access your funds.
Yep.
We do not have access your assets. You know, we just cannot. Even if we were to be malicious, we're unable to do so by design. Okay. But if all of our servers were down, then you would have difficult time to access, like there's a central point of failure because you would have unable to access, unless you could use the sequence.js and so forth, and if you have your key material, you could actually access it with no matter what. But once we have the offline UX on it, then it's even just makes that even more trivial, right? But that's non-custodial, right? And that's a lot of wallets, I would say, in all industry who are focusing on like this Web 2 or Web 2.5 use case, right? But then self-custodial is where like not like you're gone, you don't even exist. Like we're shut down as a company, no servers are running, and I still have access to my system. And that is the distinction. That's the decision that we define. And it's interesting the way we're designing this thing, you know, as a smart contract wallet, is that you can actually export the key, and you could, and that actually holds true, you know, you can actually export to self-custodial mode. Now we haven't fully released, like the primitives are all there. We haven't released the UX to do that. We could, you know, with like even a CLI or something like this, but again, it's all the dots are there versus, for example, we're getting too technical here, but like MPC, like multi-party computation wallets. You know, I mean, I guess they have like one of the key shares, but like, so you can export out, you can kind of export out to an EOA. So that's also kind of, I guess they can achieve that as well in that way. But there's, you know, other things that make it a little bit more challenging. But that's the distinction I think that's really key, is to always give people the ability to export out. I guess to kind of, without going too much into this crazy rabbit hole of more stuff, I guess I want to just kind of mention about, you know, what we're really like in terms of wallets and stuff like this, like what we're really trying to focus on as a company with Sequence. And because it's true, the wallet is that the nexus, which is why, you know, we spend all the time talking about it. And there's a lot of deep research, but really when we started our company and even with Sequence and so forth, what we recognized was a few problems, like the key problems, like blockchains have problems to scale and blockchains don't have enough like things to do on them. And there's not enough content out there, you know, and it's also hard to develop for developers. It's actually really difficult to make the content in the first place.
Yeah.
And then for users, it's really difficult to use these things. Right. So like everything has a problem. The blockchain's got a problem. The developers have a problem. The users have a problem, you know, not enough content, too hard to make, and can't use this stuff. So we set out to kind of like, you know, crazily with kind of stepping into it, like all of those things. Right. Because we wanted to make a video game we developed it ourselves, and we wanted to anyone could use it on a blockchain that make it work. So what's interesting now, like, so Sequence is really focusing on helping. And again, there's two different kind of wallets and things like this. Is like, you could be like a consumer wallet, for instance, like a Rainbow wallet, you know, which I think is an excellent NFT wallet, and, you know, focusing on the consumer aspect. Or you could be helping like the developers equip their systems to add Web3 with the user experience that's more invisible and more seamless, and that then kind of bring the users in through that conduit. So our thing is, what we think is the very most important is we want to see more utility on blockchains. That's the net of it. We want to see people loving the things that they're doing on Web3, showing up and having a great time with all the different content that they get to experience. You know, for any platform, the content is the key to create utility, right? Mm-hmm. And so our whole job is to, again, create this, like, look at a blockchain, and we built out this like middleware infrastructure. That's what Sequence is. It's like middleware infrastructure that consists of, you know, these wallet crazy things we were talking about, you know, the node gateway, the indexer, the relayer, the SDKs, and more. So we can enable the application layer, right? And the application layer is to enable the developers to remove their technical obstacles so they can be creative and they can find all the cool and crazy permutations of which they want to use this technology without being crazy experts, to be able to develop with it in a way that just like they get to use on like other cloud stuff with some new cool primitives that are easy to wield and to deliver beautiful experiences for users. And when we do that, we have just, again, we have just created utility on Web3. This is the recipe, and this is the path of Sequence, and this is what we're doing. And we're really excited. And this is why we've also we pushed out the builder, you know, this year, and why we're next year going to be releasing Sequence Wallet as a service, or Smart Wallet as a service, which, and then some new SDKs that can go deeper and deeper to accelerate the creation of content.
Yeah. And that was really what I was going to actually move on to anyway. So good segue, because obviously I've sort of started the conversation about sort of me as a user and sort of comparing the wallet experience, but Sequence is, I guess, that is a key part of it, because you need the users to be able to work out what they're doing. But the thing I guess we don't see as sort of on the outside is you're building this as a, you know, this is a platform for game developers, or any developer of a Web3 product, but specifically game developers, to use this and to onboard people seamlessly through email or other social logins into their games. And I've just sort of pulled up a screen here that I'm going to read out. So just some of the sort of things that maybe is interesting to delve into is, you know, you mentioned it in the past that earlier on that game developers using Sequence can set up their system so the users don't need gas, so they can sort of pay for gas in the background themselves. Obviously gas is the first time you go onto a blockchain and create a wallet, and then you try and do something, and then it's sort of like, gas, what's that? And you know, that's a very odd concept for people who are just sort of, you know, so the smooth onboarding is sort of cool, but then if you can't do anything, then that's a sort of a, you know, massive problem. And you have the ability to create marketplaces as well, and all this other stuff. So can you talk maybe a little bit about the sort of the tools you give developers and how that sort of builds out the entire sort of flow of a sort of, you know, user can come in, use their email, and then actually sort of be doing stuff, you know, getting enjoyment and utility out of a product, and the developer is sort of handling all that in the background.
For sure. I mean, if you want, I know I could do a screen share and show you a few things, but I don't want to go too hard, too much into it, but I can give you like a bit of a tour. Yeah. Would that be interesting?
Yeah, let's share your screen and we'll see. Hopefully the software will pick it up. Obviously for people on the audio podcast, you won't get this, but we can. I'm sure you can.
Okay, so I'm going to just share the window.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
I imagine it'll pick it up, but if not, well, at least I'll keep it short.
Yeah.
But yeah, popping into Sequence XYZ. You can get it to kind of get info about our platform and so forth. But, you know, coming into clicking on start building for free or start building here, we'll take you to a website, sequence.build. And this is what is our Sequence builder. And this gives you access to all of the different infrastructure and tools that we have. And you could think of it like an AWS or Google Cloud Console, like when you're like logging in and accessing those things. And you could technically like, you know, pop into the docs and look at all the stuff in a really low level, and even like hit up our GitHub and see lots of open source stuff and how to use that at a low level. Or you could, of course, just come here and it becomes a lot simpler. So you come in and you don't see my screen, but you're actually authenticating in a separate window. You authenticate quickly, boom, I'm in. And you know, you're actually, interestingly, we're using the Sequence wallet to authenticate into the builder. Okay. That's kind of cool. And so now we're in, and there's some cool tabs here, like the Explore tab. I won't go into this too much, but what's really fascinating about this is you can search any single project, like even like Bored Ape Yacht Club, and you'll just get to see all the content, like boom, here it is. And it's almost like works like a search engine of sorts because,
oh yeah.
You know, in fact, like Sequence, we support, you know, I guess I'll show you, we support pretty much every popular EVM chain and testnet. Again, like this middleware, we wrap ourselves around, you know, the blockchains, and we essentially extend what they're able to do. And we want to simplify this greatly. We have a crazy extensive platform. Like, you know, there are companies that only specialize in wallets or only do indexers or only do relaying, like only do nodes. We do all of them, you know, and we do them all because they all work really well together. And you kind of need all each, they all need each other. But anyway, so the whole idea here is you come in and you obviously won't see anything here, but you want to like create a new project. And I'll just go like BG World, like for this podcast. You can add a project avatar. You can also pick a bunch of networks. So you can enable different networks. Well, for us, you can just go boom, 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 boom. We'll go with Ethereum and Polygon. You can enable some testnets as well. So all of these are the networks that you can support. We'll just go update and then we'll create a new project. And then now that you're in a project, you know, there's all these different things on the left you can do. So, you know, and so one of the things that we think about, we work with a lot of partners and we're like, okay, what do people want to do? Well, you know, again, in the context of video games, but also, you know, adjacent things as well. We really mapped out the journey A to Z on all the things to do that. And we built it into this builder and we're only going to go deeper with it. Right. So a very key thing is people want to, you need contracts. That's like, okay, the first and foremost, you're representing your goods on chain and so forth. So you have a few options. You can either deploy a new contract. We have some kind of standard library contracts. You can also put in your own custom contract, or you can actually even search anything on chain and you can like link it in. So I'll kind of show you both. So let's first off just deploy a new contract. So you can come here and like be like, okay, like I can do a Web3 gaming item collection, which is we use the ERC 1155, or you can have an NFT collection in ERC 721, whatever you want. You can also pick, there's an ERC 20 in here. Here it is. And you can also upload a custom contract as well, which is kind of neat. So we'll go and deploy just this item contract and we'll deploy it on Polygon. We'll give it a name, VG World Items. And I'm the owner, you can change the owner, and you can, of course, update this later on. You can specify a royalty fee, which will be something that's broadcasted. There's this particular EAP. You can make a custom number, just go like 3%. You deploy the contract. You don't see the window right now, but what's happening is the Sequence wallet has just popped up, and it's asking me, because I'm just a screen share thing, it's asking me like how I want to deploy it, da-da-da. And what's really cool, I wish you could see it, is really cool, which is we're going to deploy this. It's going to cost me 33 cents in USDC. I can actually pay for it in USDC or Matic or ETH or whatever, and I'm deploying it on the Polygon network. So again, it's my own dedicated contract for 33 cents. I'm going to hit confirm. It's now sending it to the network and it's going to get mined. It takes anywhere between 3 to 10 seconds.
It'll take 20 seconds because you're doing a demo.
So it's done. And it was really cool. Like that wallet, when you guys tried that, again, you couldn't see it, but it demonstrates so many neat things using our transaction relayer, automatic gas estimation and delivery and repricing. And that's why I was able to, and again, finding the optimal price point for that transaction and being able to pay for that deployment in USDC in a non-custodial way. Like the Sequence Builder does not have privilege to your contract. It's tied to me, you know, as a thrill. So here it is and I'm owning it and da-da-da-da. I can click on it now and I can now like kind of see, now I don't have anything in here, obviously. It's a brand new contract. I can click on read and I can, these are all the different methods. Like these are actually ABI methods. I can click on view on Polygon scan. And so now this is the contract that's just been deployed. And you know, it's here. You can actually even see the source code. And you know, we actually do have, of course it is open source. It's Apache 2 licensed. I will say it's not audited just yet. We're in the process of auditing it right now. And that's why we've kind of labeled it unaudited. We do audit all of our contracts. And so that's why, you know, adding that disclaimer, but it's enough for people to kind of try out and have fun. We have done internal audits, but again, that's not good enough. So anyways, you can read all these different things and check out these different methods. It's pretty cool. You can see the name, for instance, you can query and be like, oh, it's called BG World Items. You can find the URI, which is, or you know, the base URI, which is like your token URI, which is not set to anything right now. So you got to go in there and you can, you know, specify, you can have different owners. So you can have like, who's like the minter, who's the admin and so forth on your contracts. And you can specify these things. So pretty little stuff. And you can kind of, it's kind of cool. So you have now like deployed a contract very easily. And kind of, well, what do you do now, right? Well, you can, again, you can start actually interfacing it with our docs. You can start using our indexer API as well, which right now you can see it doesn't have any items as well. There's nothing in here. But yeah, it's kind of a starting point and allows you to start kind of configuring different things. And you can use our docs to start hooking up like a minter, or you can even mint an item right from here. And one of the things we're adding very soon is this minter section here as well, which specifically is its whole job is really managing metadata. metadata for your collections, and then ultimately it will just update this, like, the contract URI in a really easy way. And then usually you're not going to be really minting from this console. You could, but that's not really what typically people do. What typically happens is you'll mint through, like, you know, your server, or a drop or a payment contract or so forth that you can, you know, deploy and kind of tack these things together. So it's kind of neat. Like, so you can do a simple deployment, and from here you can kind of add this to like a gas tank, which is kind of neat. But I'll come back to this. I'll show you instead. I'll kind of show you, like, let's say I've already deployed a contract. Maybe I already have an existing project. I've deployed it with whatever, Hardhat, or maybe I even use Fireblocks, or I have it on Gnosis Safe. That's cool. And you have your own custom contract. We don't mind, because it's, of course, anything. So you can come here and you can, like, look apart. We'll use the Board API Club thing as well. You can do anything. You can even type Skyweaver. Sure, let's add Skyweaver. Well, so we can link a contract. And you can search anything on any of the networks that I've selected. And the interesting thing about how this works is this is actually powered by the Sequence Indexer.
Yeah.
And the Sequence Indexer is a system kind of like the graph, like of that source. And there's lots of indexing systems. But what we do is we index everything on the blockchain, every single thing, all tokens and balances and history and so forth. And we have this metadata. So you can kind of query like a search engine. Like if you come here, you can really search anything. And at the same time, you can link these things. And so now that I've, like, let's say done the Board API Club thing, I can now, this one has activity. So I can actually see couple hours of what's actually happening in here. So an hour ago, and I can click on this thing. I can see this item. I can see a transfer between here and here. And so forth. I can see the different balances, like who owns what. I can see all the different tokens themselves, like the metadata and everything associated to it. I can also view it on Etherscan. I can read the contract itself. I can actually, like, query the contract, because it's kind of, anyone can read any contract. Of course, we cannot write to the contract. We're going to have, the permissions will be declined. But because of blockchain, but you can click this indirect API button. It's kind of cool. And right here, so this is one of our other services, right? So the indexer service is very, very powerful, very fast. As in, like, as soon as something is mined, we have that data, like, instantly. And so, for instance, we can say, hey, fetch all the tokens that are in a particular collection. And here, here's the 721 Board API Club, all the different information. And here's actually the source code on how to use it, or you can use this curl command to see how does it work at a raw level. So really, really neat. Plus, like, all these other kinds of finding supplies or finding metadata, finding, the movements of things, and, also setting up webhooks and so forth to get notified when these things kind of get changed. So all the neat stuff there. And we offer, by the way, this is you can use this as a free service, or you can use it if you're kind of, we give you, like, these credits, how they work. It's like, kind of like gas. So we give you a bunch of free gas to use this stuff. Anyway, so that's the indexer, really powerful. And what's interesting, I'll say, is the Sequence wallet itself uses the indexer. We use the indexer ourselves, and yet we also give it to projects so they can, query information right from for their own needs, whether it's from their backends or from their front ends, if they want to render a unique thing. So, and we also have it built into our Unity and Unreal SDKs, right? So it's kind of everywhere. So that's, like, simple, like, okay, linking, blah, 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 blah. And Skyweaver is kind of no different. You can see a bunch of things going on. We also have, like, again, you can add a wallet. So another thing that people want to do is they want to have a wallet into their systems. So there's different kind of integrations that you can do. We'll use the Sequence key as an example. You can give it a project name, pick your network, your default network. You can say, do I want to show email or not? I can pick, like, what authentication social methods I want. I can pick what, if I want to have other wallet support, we offer these all as a default, including MetaMask wallet, Connect, Coinbase wallet. And then you can have a bunch of code, and we'll just go hit preview, and looks like this as a default. Pretty cool. And we can go and change it, right? We can go appearance. Let's go, like, we can make it light mode. We can go custom. Let's make it, like, go some red and something else. And, now
it's unreadable.
You know what I mean?
Programmer art, alive and well.
Yeah. Again, not that sort of, anyway. So a lot of cool stuff. You can kind of configure really easily. It gives you snippets. The gas tank is really neat. This is, your question you asked me about, how do people, like, not pay for gas? How do we give users experiences where users themselves don't have to pay for gas? You mentioned it. And, I'll say, it's funny, I'm so used to this now that even as a person who's, been around for a while, I just hate having to load my wallets up with, like, some small random bit of token just so I can interact with them. It's, like, the worst. Because I got to bridge it and do all this stuff. It's so much extra effort that I just don't want to do it at all. So this is an interesting system where you can have a gas tank and you can kind of specify any contract you want. So we can, you know, we'll use the, we'll whitelist Skyweaver and we'll do our, even our own contract. And then I guess on the Ethereum, we'll even can do the Bored API Club. So we have these different gas tanks and these different networks. And now we don't have any balance, but you can add balance in here and use our credit system. And then what happens is essentially when transactions are hitting your project with these contracts, like again, my custom contracts, then users, the gas payment is going to be free. So, and it's going to instead come off the gas tank here. And of course you can click on here and you can disable it and stuff like that. So it's a really, it's that simple, right? You're going to sponsor the transactions that hit your project. And it, that's all that is. You have a node gateway. So again, every single project also needs a node. You know, nodes are pretty fundamental and you want to be able to access these things. This just gives you a node with your own access key. And you can add, again, you can add as many networks as you want. You know, you can go here and manage your access keys and you can add more and you can also change. We can go in here, start enabling all these networks if we want. So node access, very cool. And our node system is very interesting because again, we actually use it all for all of our internal services. We actually use consume it ourselves. And is that it has, you know, high availability and automatic failover. So if we don't have, we have multiple providers that sit behind it. And if one of them were to be faulty or go down, it automatically detects and automatically switches over. And it's even now, even it happens every couple of days, there's always some nodes going down, or having a little too much demand on them or whatever. So this just, you know, switches it up. Marketplace, something that's really important too. You know, we want to make it very easy. Like one of the things we're seeing, again, if you're a video game, so you add the items and how you use them and how you mint them and how you do them, it's up to you and be able to render them and query them in a simple way. But it's very common that you want to be able to sell your goods and offer a secondary marketplace for them. Now there's a lot of different marketplaces. You could of course go on OpenSea or you could go on other marketplaces as well, but these are third party marketplaces. This isn't your marketplace, you know? So we help you off, we offer you a first party marketplace that's white labeled that can be on your .com. And it's easy to set up actually. So you click on this little button and I'll add a collection. I'll add this collection here. And then I'll add another collection. So I'll add these two collections, Skyweaver and Bored Ape. And then we will can upload a little banner. Well, I guess even from there, we'll like click the launch button and like, let's see what we got already.
Off you go. Right?
So we got this. Interesting, you know, and so we got just really, really basic. And you can see all the items and you can like start doing stuff with them, right? It's basic. Now let's go customize it a bit, you know. Skyweaver will use this other, we'll use an automatic market making trading mechanism. The royalty fee there, as you can see, is 4% because that's actually what's specified on the contract itself, because it's respecting the royalty that's specified on the contract itself. The Bored Ape guys have 2.5%, and it's on the P2P. It's essentially it's pulling the market data from OpenSea. It's using Seaport behind the scenes for that when you actually show it up, and we can go and do some customization. Like let's go upload a little banner. I mean, you know, we're gonna use Skype. It's just like random. We'll upload a logo, and you can also customize it with the buttons. Or like this stuff, or you can actually upload a JSON file and get more crazy. And you know, and then you can toggle more stuff and you can set up a custom domain. So let's have a look what our thing looks like now. So obviously you need to do a little bit better, need a better banner and stuff, but we're already kind of cranking over here, and you can come over here and you know, you can again change your domain and start a lot of, you can connect multiple different wallets. I'll connect my Sequence wallet and I can come here and I can like, okay, you know, I got to accept the terms and then I can like, okay, I can, and then I can pick what I want and then I could, you know, click buy with a credit card. And then you can use your credit card to make the purchase and then you got it, right? Or you can use your actual, not a credit card, but I don't actually have enough USDC, which is why... you know, anyway, so that's kind of the idea. So again, lots and lots of stuff. I'll kind of pause there. But you know, we're really, and we're just going deeper, you know, it's like really want, we really want to give the all-in-one, you know, stack to simplify people's ability to be creative, and to leverage these things.
Yeah. I think even for people like me at a not a high technical level, you start to get the idea of how, you know, some of the building blocks of how these things work. And, you know, I don't really know what a node is or a relay or something like that, but clearly, you know, that's where sort of you guys have spent a lot of time building these things, which maybe other, you know, certainly sort of onboarding wallet solutions clearly don't have, because you feel that's part of the, you know, the fundamental foundations of how you build something that's sort of scalable, and you own the, you know, you own the critical bits of that infrastructure. And it's like a bit like the swan glides, you know, seamlessly across the water, and people just log in with my Gmail or my Facebook or something and buy an NFT. But behind the scenes, there's all this stuff going on, which actually is how you interact with the blockchain and make these things work and allow people to have a good user experience. I think that's quite a good example.
I think we're really unique in that, like, of an all-in-one stack, it's all our infrastructure, and it all works really well together. And as a result, there's a lot of benefits, right? Because again, the developer experience is consistent. There's one SDK. You don't have to Frankenstein things together. Batteries are included. And we're going to be shipping analytics soon, actually. You're going to have like an analytics tab, automatic analytics for everything you're doing. Again, the Mintra section and a whole bunch of other, I didn't even show you the collaborator section. You can add all your team in there as collaborators that already is in there. You know, and yeah, I think what's unique for us is we also built Skyweaver supporting, you know, hundreds of thousands of players, and knowing like what are the challenges of like how you monetize a game and showing up in the app store and users, like these things that we keep building into Sequence. And as well as we work with more partners, we serve their needs, which are critical to us, because the only way we're going to be successful is if our partners are successful. And you know, and I think what's interesting, by us having all the infrastructure, we have more flexibility in our business model, you know, in terms of how we sell and price these things, because you can now have a basket of these things versus going and, you know, spending $1,000 a pop on all of these different service providers. We bundle it together. So there's a lot of reasons why it's very interesting.
And just sort of to finish off and sort of widen out a little bit, we were sort of laughing before the podcast started about whether we were confident enough to say we're not in the bear market anymore, but we weren't sure whether we're in sort of the bull market or not. But you know, you've been working on this kind of stuff for years, and I guess it's sort of, you know, you're sort of, for you to be successful, the industry needs to be successful, and partly sort of sentiment is part of that. So how do you see sort of 2024? Clearly, I think we're seeing, you know, currently, you know, generally good sentiment, Bitcoin hitting an all-year high, but equally, I'm sort of seeing, you know, a few game projects in particular seeming to catch the attention of maybe they're just the usual speculators, degens, but it seems like sort of gaming is sort of back in the frame in a way probably it hasn't been for a number of years. So, I mean, how do you see 2024 panning out?
Yeah, I'm really excited about 2024. It's going to be a very important year. I mean, I think for the ecosystem, I think we've come a long way, and there's so many great projects, and, you know, it takes in gaming, it takes a long time to make this stuff. And then there's all these, so many challenges. I think, there's so many teams that I'm sure you're even talking about, and projects that are out there and advancing and getting better. I very much feel, and I see the games out there, like we're going to see tons of great content, you know, it's our job to support as many of them as we can, in all the different modular ways that we can. But, you know, in general, it's gonna be a rising tide, and what I'm excited about is, you know, I think the first gen games, you could say, like the Web3 games, were, you know, again, they were close to the metal, you could say, right? Yeah. Like back to like the very Web3, and maybe too much about the financialization of this stuff and hard to use, and now like a lot of the games are like Web 2.5 games or like Web 2.7 games, you know. And now they're like anyone can use, but they're, you know, you can have ownership, and you have the markets, and maybe you'll have evolving NFTs, or you'll have like user generated content of sorts, or you have like extraction shooters, like, you know, Shrapnel, which is friggin' really cool and very novel. But you'll see tons of people like using this design space. You know, I think it's like the content and the interfacing into blockchain, and then the design space to kind of, you know, explore the different ways that can be a benefit, can be sustainable to the studio and a benefit and exciting to the player. And again, 2024, I think we're going to see a shit ton of stuff. And so that's why our team is, we're motoring, we're working very, very hard. And yeah.
Yep. Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time and for your in-depth knowledge there. It was fascinating to see sort of a bit more behind the scenes. As I say, I think a lot of people have probably used Sequence as a wallet and to sort of see some of the thinking and some of the sort of structure behind for developers is really fascinating. So thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. And yeah, see you around, man.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. And thanks to you for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Hope you are enjoying it. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are building out this, you know, I used to say sort of crazy new space. I don't think it is. I mean, in some ways it is crazy. In some ways, I think it's a very logical progression of using new technology, and new technology is always used to make new sorts of games. And I think we're definitely seeing that now. So I hope you're enjoying it. Please subscribe and come back next time and see what's going on. See you then. Bye-bye.